standing with us on page 57.
nobody special. I'm no ruler or king. This old world doesn't know who I am. But Jesus walks right here beside me. He fights my battles and he guides me. Yet he loves me as small as I am. Sometimes it's hard to walk in his footsteps, but when I stumble, he understands. He picks me up, wipes off my sin, sets me on my feet again. Yes, he loves me as small as I am.
Song right there, my goodness alive. He loves us just as small as we are. We're a drop in a bucket in this world, ain't we? And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that I don't have to be important to go to heaven. My goodness alive. Well, I'm glad you're here. Turn your Bible to the book of Exodus, the second chapter. Exodus, the second chapter. I'm not going to hold you long this morning, but I want to bring something to your attention. I want to read verse 1. Get there when you can. And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and dabbed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maiden walked along by the river's side. When she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. When she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. And she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses and said, "Because I drew him out of the water." May we pray. Father, I thank you for the privilege of reading your precious word. Thank you, God, that we can look into these pages and, God, you speak to our hearts. Thank you for loving us. Prepare hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. We love this story about Moses, don't we? How many times have we read it over our lifetime? How many times you look in the Bible and you see that and you say, "Wow, look what God's able to do. Look what God's able to do." First of all, he was able to keep that child alive. And you know, when that mother saw that it was a goodly child, I bet she was kind of partial, don't you? But that, was there more to it? Huh? Me, I'd like to say, well, there was more to it because that was Moses. I'd like to say that there's no way that we could ever find a Hebrew child to be bad.
Boy, that wouldn't be right, would it? I'd like to say that whenever you had such a goodly child, that mama knows best and daddy knows best, and we're going to do our best to save this child's life. There's a lot of things in here that we don't know. There's a lot of things in the scriptures that we have to sometimes be revealed to. It has to be showed to us. We have to be told a little bit, and sometimes we learn. But then again, let's talk about Moses for a moment. Moses was a great leader for the children of Israel, wasn't he? Whenever he led the children of Israel, boy, we looked at what he did and we say, man, that's the kind of man I'd like to follow. But that ain't what Moses was. Let's go back to his childhood. Saw that he was a goodly child. And actually, the scripture also said in verses 4 that there was somebody that stood afar off and kind of watched him, being sister. Stood afar off and watched him. In other words, we're going to make sure that this little baby in this little ark is okay. Stood afar. Ain't that kind of sounds like the way God watches over us. But there's more to it than that. When we read the scripture that he was a goodly child and somebody was watching over him, we think, man, this is a good thing what God's doing. Every one of us have a story in our life. Every one of us. Now, I'd like to be able to think that all of us, when we were little babies, every one of our parents thought we were pretty good kids, all right? And we could look in there and say, boy, they're going to grow up to be a preacher. They're going to grow up to be a deacon. They're going to be a singer. Although every one of us may have looked in the children's eyes and say, this is what they're going to be. But there's a lot of religions that think whenever you're born, this is what you're going to be. If I believe that way, I'd have a problem. Because if I believe that way, I wouldn't worry about going to church. Everything's going to work out in the end. But see, I believe that whenever you're born in this world, God gives you an opportunity to meet the Lord. And when God gives you an opportunity to meet the Lord, you might ought to take advantage of what God gives you. Take advantage of what God gives you. You know, I've prayed for food. You might not think it, but there's been times when we might not have a lot of food, and I prayed for food. You ever prayed for a roof over your head? You ever prayed for your car to operate so you can get down the highway? You see, a lot of times we pray for the silliest stuff. In reality, I have prayed, Lord, help me, show me, guide me. Now, whenever I was lost, I didn't realize I needed God, but God began to show me something, how much I really needed God. So the godly child as it was, it was a goodly child, man. It was a good, and it had somebody watch over and kind of keeping an eye on him. I believe there was a touch that God provided when that ark opened up, that little ark opened up and that baby cried. I want to say it had a heart just kind of touched by God. That heart touched the heart of that Pharaoh's daughter. It's somehow this working out. It's almost like it's kind of planned out. It's almost like God's hand is on this child. God's hand is moving in this child's life. You know what? God's hands move in all of our lives. Not just Moses. Oh, I could say, look here, what Moses accomplished. But let me tell you, what can you accomplish if you let the Lord lead your life? What can you accomplish? I want to tell you, there's been some great men in the Bible that would be like this verse, Lord, here am I, send me. If you can't say that, Then maybe we're not looking deep enough into our heart. This Moses, he wasn't talking, he wasn't walking, he was a baby, but yet kept alive, watched over, a cry to touch Pharaoh's daughter's heart and had his own mother to take care of him, and she was paid wages. That's just almost unbelievable. But let's go a little bit further into this. A little bit further, here's what happens. Verses 10, I'm going to read again. And the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she called his name Moses, and she said, because I drew him out of the water. And it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown. All the in-between years kind of disappeared. They were there. If I can say it this way, Moses was being raised in Pharaoh's household. When Moses was grown, that he went out unto his brethren and looked on their burdens, and he spied an Egyptian smiting a Hebrew, one of his brethren. Moses saw what we've said about for years. All of a sudden, Moses sees an Egyptian doing something that got in his heart, in his mind, and said, look, this is not going to happen. And he takes the life of an Egyptian. Now, Moses committed murder. Moses committed murder. Now, I don't know how you think about it, but murder in anybody's eyes is against God. Now, I want to tell you, Moses one day gets the commandments from God. You know what one of those commandments was? Bingo. Thou shalt not kill. Why don't we claim ignorance, Moses, and say, well, I didn't know that because, friend, this was later on. You know what? Moses was taught about the Hebrews, and they were taught about a lifestyle. You know what happened earlier when Cain slew Abel? You know what happened when Cain slew Abel? When Cain slew Abel, friend, it was a curse put upon Cain, and he said, this right here is more than I'm able to bear. More than I'm able to stand. What was he talking about? Friend, he thought being banished was a bad thing. He thought being around, oh, look here, murderers would be a bad thing. But friend, whenever you're banished from the sight of God, that's a bad thing. That's a bad thing. Hang with me. Crime, murder, being a murderer, that's not the worst of all. Oh, you can be worse. An unbeliever is worse than a murderer. An unbeliever is worse than a murderer. Go on a little bit further. So all of a sudden, Moses was a murderer. You see, one day, out of all the sins that man committed, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The sixth chapter, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Why am I saying that? It was a term called grace introduced. That term of grace, that unmerited favor of God. Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Now, why is that important? You see, whenever Moses sinned by committing murder, he couldn't stay where he was, and he left, as we call it, and went on the backside of the desert. And while he was living on the backside of the desert, he was just like so many other millions and millions of folks away from God. Amen. Away from his leadership, away from his direction, away from his family. Every known thing that he knew about anything about God, it was nowhere where he was living. And friend, when Moses was on that backside of the desert, it would be for easy to say, because I'm a murderer, I am forgotten of God. I am forgotten of God. You know, when Noah was in the ark, when he was in that boat, him and his family, It would have been very easy for God to have forgotten him, but God didn't. It would have been very easy to destroy everybody upon this earth, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. How in the world did Noah find grace? What works that Noah could have done to ever get the attention of God? What good have you ever done to get the attention of God? Hey, is it your perfect attendance in church? Is that what gets attention? Hey, maybe it's a little bit more. Maybe you're consistent in your prayers, and you might pray more than that. You might pray three times a day. You might even go four. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's your humbled heart. Maybe you're receptive to the Word of God. Maybe you just love God so much that God sees your love and loves you because of your love to Him. See, all these things is kind of far-fetched. Noah found grace, something that is hard for me to explain. But he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. There's something else. He wasn't the only one to find something in the eyes of the Lord. In Genesis chapter number 19, and we're not going to read it, but in Genesis 19 and 19, Lot, behold now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight. Lot. The same Lot of Sodom and Gomorrah. The same Lot that set at the gate at Sodom and Gomorrah. The same Lot that was looking toward Sodom and Gomorrah instead of facing the direction God really wanted him to face. It would be very easy to live on the backside of the desert with Moses when you have people like Lot around you. But Lot found grace in the eyes of the Lord also. Lot found the mercy of God when he didn't even deserve the mercy of God. When you don't deserve the mercy of God, when you don't deserve the mercy of God, and then when God gives it, you ought to be double thankful. You ought to be double thankful for what God has given. Friend, for God committed his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Did we deserve it? No. Did we merit it? No. Friend, whenever we look at an individual like Noah, or we look at an individual, I'd have more favor toward Noah than I would Lot. But when Moses was on the backside of the desert, there had to be a language barrier established. One day, Moses was a traveling. And y'all know this story. He was traveling on the backside of nowhere. And he went down, and all of a sudden, Moses sees a bush that's being burnt and it's not consumed. The craziest thing in the world God could have done. But friend, God was going to get his attention. And when Moses went over to see, God began to reveal himself to Moses. When the day comes in your life that you really see God, you will see God's grace. You'll see it. It'll be there. You will understand more whenever you're in the ark and it's raining and you're on the flood and you're doing all the things, and the only thing that you've got is your family. And friend, in reality, the only thing that's keeping you alive is that what you might say, well, I worked hard to build this ark. The only thing that's keeping you alive is God. The only thing that'll ever lead your life is God. The only thing that'll ever show you, friend, Moses didn't deserve to live,
Moses didn't need to be that goodly child that all of a sudden his mama said, we're going to preserve that life. He didn't need to be that. But God was working in his life even as a baby. All throughout his life, God, and I'm going to say it this way, was silently in the background until the day of the burning bush. And he no longer was in the background. He was in the forefront. You know, it would have been very easy for God to say, well, Moses, I'd love to use you, but you're a murderer. I'd love to use you. I'd love to be the leader of the children. I'd love you to lead all of God's people out of the bond. I'd love for you to do that, but I can't because of look at your condition, look at your sin, look at what you've committed, and because of what you've done, I can't use you. But you know what Moses found? Moses found grace, an undeserving, unmerited, unworked for blessing that God sent his way, and he was willing to follow the Lord. Amen. You know, kind of sounds a lot like us. We don't deserve it. Look at our things that we may have not have murdered anybody. But we've committed enough sin that we should never, ever be allowed in God's heaven. We should never, ever be allowed to have the Holy Spirit live within us, that which is holy of God. We should never, ever deserve to be able to read from the pages of God's Word and God, how He speaks to us and tells us and talks to us and leads us. And God, we should never, ever have that privilege. But God's grace comes my direction. When God's grace comes my direction, I'm glad I get to enjoy the benefit of it. But let me go quickly. When they got to the burning bush and he was told what to do, it would have been easy for him. It would have been easy for him. It would have been easy, just like Cain slew Abel, just to run back to the backside and live there. It would have been easy to ignore the grace of God. It would have been easy to ignore that we already talked about it, but the Ten Commandments. It would have been easy to let somebody else get the commandments from God. It would have been that easy to follow God's word from a distance. The Egyptian law was even contrary to the way and lifestyle of man. But it wasn't God's way in Moses' life to let others reject him. You see, man doesn't have to like you. They don't have to like the way you live, the way you act. You see, a lot of folks today are facing problems because they love the Lord. You, young or old, you'll face criticism whenever you don't talk the language of the world. You'll face criticism when you don't do the wild parties that the world might have, the drugs that the world might have. Friend, you'll face all kinds of pressures because you don't fit into their world. But I'm glad to know the majority of the world may be having their problems and they're trying to draw you into their problems. But friend, I'm glad to know God will separate you. He separated Moses and he can separate you. He separated Noah and he can separate. Friend, he separated Lot. He separated us from all of our sins and all of our problems. But friend of mine, I want to tell you something. He'll show them to you. But it's up to you to do something with them. Quickly, let me show you this. So he did all that. He showed him that. But when Moses had a meeting with that burning bush, Moses was told to do one thing very important, and that was to remove his shoes, his sandals. And when he removed his shoes because God told him he was on holy ground, what Moses had to do was to get lower in this world for God to raise him up. The hardest thing you'll ever face is to become humbled and humbled at the foot of the cross. Hardest thing in the world to do. You know what we want to do? Do what we want. Act any way we want. Live any way we want. But when Moses took off his shoes, he was recognizing the power of God's Word, the authority of God's Word. Friend, and he recognized when God said it was holy ground, it was holy ground. A church house is just a building unless God's in it. An altar is just a bench unless God's in it. The Bible is just a book unless God's in it. But if you put God in all these things, those are the things that brings you down to a level where God can raise you up. Now let me tell you this. Wouldn't you have been proud that you had a mama that thought so much of you, that God had something for you? And I don't think there's a mama alive that doesn't want better for their children. But how much more does your Heavenly Father want for you? We may not recognize God in our life, but friend, God will let us come by a little old bush one day and let us see God where the bush is burning, but it's not being consumed. Something that the eye could not comprehend, the mind couldn't figure it out. But when Moses got there, he knew it was God. Amen. And God wants to touch your life if you're willing to meet God's conditions and not yours. Because my conditions will lead me to hell. My conditions will think everything's all right. My conditions say I come and go to church when I want, when I want, how I want, act like I want to act, do like I want to do. But I'm glad to know when Jesus comes in your life, you don't mind taking your shoes off when God says you're on holy ground. Can I ask you something this morning? When's the last time you and God had a good conversation? Now, I'm not talking about when you pray, now lay me down to sleep. No. I'm not talking about, Lord, thank you for that. God is great and God is good. Thank you for this food. No. I'm not talking about that kind. I'm talking about when's the last time you and God really talked and God was doing the talking and you was doing the listening. You see, that's what the preaching of the gospel is all about. Is presenting the message of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And once you receive Jesus as your Savior, there's a relationship that God wants to build in you. And if you choose to follow that relationship, whenever God speaks, take your shoes off, friend, you'll jump them shoes off. But if you don't want that relationship and you don't want that closeness with God, friend mine, there are things that are very important that God can do and will do, but sometimes God will just put you on the shelf if you don't do. And when you don't do what God wants, God will just lay aside. Because see, God's not going to force you to do anything for Him. He might make you wish you had. But the truth of it is, if you're willing, God will use you. It had nothing to do with His birth. It had nothing to do with all those blessings that his family done for him. It had everything to do when he was willing to go aside, step aside, and see that burning bush. And whenever he stepped aside and he did what God wanted him to do, God used him in a mighty way. A murderer. Ain't you glad to know no matter what your sins are, God will forgive them? God will forgive them? You can lie, and you know what? God don't want you to lie. You can steal. God don't want you to steal. But if you unbelieve, in other words, if you're not a believer, God don't want you to remain that unbeliever.
If you'll come to him, he'll in no wise cast you out. Brother Kevin, let's have a song of invitation. I don't know your heart or your life. I do know the Lord. I do know there's not a doubt in my mind that there's a better day coming for me. That better day that's coming for me is going to come, just happen so quick one day. What does that mean, preacher? One day the Lord's going to call me home. And whenever he calls me, I don't matter what, how busy I am, what I'm doing, whenever God calls me, I'm going to answer that call. Will you answer that call? Here's the way it says. It's appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. Saved people got a good route. But lost people, they're going to die. And hell will be their home. If you're not where you need to be, come to know him in a free pardon of sin. May we stand together. May we sing a verse of this song. And if God's speaking to you, don't put it off. Do today what you've been wanting to do. Go ahead, brother.